like clothes at the washer.
No, no, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, September 2nd. Is it Wednesday then? Today's Wednesday? I appreciate you. I appreciate when we have guests who knows what day it is, actually. Today is Wednesday, September 3rd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your guest for the day. Stop. I shall be your host for the day. I'm completely off today, actually. But it's good that we have the Christian Counseling Center here so they can do some counseling for me in the meantime. I have some special guests in studio. We have Miss Helen Arnett. We have Miss Pastor Frederick Arnett, who's the founder of the Christian Counseling Center. And also we have Miss Denise Worrell, who's a counselor there. I'm going to have a narrative and where they explain exactly what is the Christian Counseling Center. Why was it started? Who is their target audience? How does it help the Bahamian people? I'm excited for them to be here. So we'll start off with Ms. Helen Arnett, who is the executive director at the Christian Counsel Center. And she'll give me a narrative on when they started. What exactly is it? And we go on from there. Okay. Welcome again.
Okay, it started in 1986, March of that year. And it was a response to the cocaine epidemic and it was so big in the community that Pastor Arnett and a few other men decided that we need to have a center where we can have an intervention into families. I think Pastor Arnett is in a position to pick it up from there.
So we'll speak to now Pastor Frederick Arnett, who's the founder. So he's the one who came up with the concept and said, man, there's a need for this. And we started in the 1980s, like Ms. Arnett said, during that cocaine era in the Bahamas, where a number of families were impacted. So I want you to give like a narrative of what you were seeing in the Bahamas at the time, and then explain to me why you said, man, I got to do something. We got to do something.
Okay. It was not I alone. Pastor Morris Russell, who was the then senior pastor of Calvary Bible Church, saw the need. I recognized we were having problems with people who were on drugs, but he really had a heartbeat for it, and he talked to me about it, and we decided, yes, we will start some kind of center to help the people. The reason was, as Helen said already, it was quite bad in 1980.
What were you seeing, Reverend?
Well, let me just give you an idea. There, I could remember what caused me to really change my heart about the situation. There was one particular family who had a son that was on cocaine, and as a result, she went to the grocery store one Saturday evening as parents normally do. She comes home with the grocery in the car and said to her son, go and bring the groceries out of the car. Well, he went out to the car and she waited and he didn't return, only to find out that he jumped in the car, went and traded the food stuff that she just bought for the family to help his
habit. So there was desperation.
And that was not the only thing. There were several situations like that that really caused me to say, okay, we need to really look at this. And we did. And as a result of that, we moved from the drugs 2 years later into family, because again, we found that the family was really having a difficult time now as well as back then.
So let's talk about now, right? And as we involve Miss Arnett and Miss Worrell, this was 40 years ago you were talking about, in the 1980s, where we were in that peak period, right? Where we acknowledged we had an issue. Right? The Bahamas doesn't have an issue like that anymore, surely.
Well, maybe not the cocaine to that extent. But as far as I'm concerned, the family are in much more problem now than back then.
So let's talk about the family. What types of problems you have noticed that Bahamian family are having challenges with?
I think there's a breakdown in relationships in the Bahamian family where there's divorce issues, and divorce is very, very painful. I think sometimes divorce is more painful than attending a requiem mass and seeing the body interred, because this person who I've been abandoned by pops up in a supermarket or somewhere along the way, and my children, if I have children, have to see them, and then we have to negotiate whether I am the custodial one who's keeping them. We then have to trade off when and where we meet up. And so that is very, very painful. That sometimes that's more painful than an actual death.
Yeah, you hear men talking about life after divorce. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of not waking up every day with my children around mm-hmm. me is devastating for some men. Like you say, it's worse than death, because you know they're there.
Yeah.
And you can't get them. You can't go pick them up from school and just grab them and hug them up and take them for salty.
Especially if their mother is bad mouthing the man, you know, the father. It's cruel. It's really cruel.
Yeah.
You know, I have this thing, don't bad mouth anyone, because sooner or later children will find out anyway, you know.
Yeah, true.
So rather than me putting him down, I prefer to really try and speak well of him, mm-hmm. not go into denial, but not bash him, and then the child gets turned off from him.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it can be a devastating space for men and for women, and in particular for children, mm-hmm. who then have no control. Like the spouse whose partner's abandoned them, say, listen, it's over, it's finished.
Yeah.
The kid sits there and wonders, but was it me?
Yeah, they blame themselves. Yeah.
Did I cause it? Does daddy not love me enough to stay here? You know, and that is devastating for
the kids.
And
then they have magical thinking, how can I repair this relationship? And so they struggle to try to get them together. And then the parents kind of use them as courier when they go and visit the dad or the mom. Who is he seeing? Who is she seeing?
Yeah.
So it's a heavy burden on children.
Them.
It's
mm-hmm.
very, very good. So
let's talk about services. You have consulates, and we have Ms. Worrell here, who's a consular there. I want to understand what type of services you render to various families in general.
All right. We offer several different counseling services. We have the one-on-one interpersonal problem, mm-hmm. a person that we're dealing with, but we also have groups that need help from time to time, such as businesses after a robbery. That you need intervention for the employees.
Staff?
Yes, absolutely. And then we also offer group counseling, like family members who have been through crisis that need assistance. We offer that as well, as we offer couples counseling. So this may be premarital counseling, mm-hmm. or it may be a couple that have been married for years. We invite them in, and we work to try and revive and regenerate their marriage.
All right. I would say, would you recommend for a newlywed couple, a new couple, recommend for them to incorporate a counseling session like this, just as a normal part of the marriage? Let's, for the first 2 years, let's go to these therapists, let's say once a week, once a month, and let's help them to help us start this marriage on the right foot.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely needed. We like to do it before mm-hmm. the commitment is made, but certainly after, we are quite prepared to assist with that as well. And we use various ways to ascertain what the deeper problems are mm-hmm. by doing assessments that can help the families or the couple so that they get to understand where the areas that need attention in their marriage or in their relationship.
Can I do the one-on-one session like via Zoom? I'm on the family mm-hmm. island, but I want to connect. Or I'm a Bahamian abroad, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm stuck in this academic program. I can't come home, mm-hmm. but my favorite uncle, my Grammy, has passed away, right? Mm-hmm. And I can seek help here, mm-hmm. but there's something cultural, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to talk to a Bahamian. I could Zoom into the sessions yeah. from London
Absolutely.
Or Australia.
Yeah, we have that.
Okay.
Yes, we do that.
Because there's a it's not just a religious aspect, but there's also a cultural aspect, yeah. I think, of understanding that makes people feel yes. comfortable talking Connect. About themselves.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We do offer that.
And also I want to say that, which is very important, and it's still a big area in our community, HIV and AIDS, we do that too there. We counsel persons and their family infected
and affected. So let's go with a list of what all services you offer. You mentioned HIV and AIDS, the groups. Yeah, okay. And you mentioned counseling for marriages. Just so the listening audience could be aware that these are services that you can get help for.
First of all, we recommend premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. Before you get married, before you say, I do, you present yourself to us. We have, as Mrs. Worrell said, different aspect of drawing you in as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you come to us for at least 8 sessions.
Okay.
At least 8 sessions. But not only that, after the 8th session, it may go take a longer time depending on the kind of relationship or your family background.
Mm-hmm.
It really involves.
There's a lot to delve into, and then when you start digging in, then you realize, hold on, there's plenty more to talk about as well.
Right.
What do y'all do New Year's morning? What do y'all do? Right? You go to watch night service. Mm-hmm. You sleep for junkanoo. These are things that people need to talk about yeah. before they get married.
Yes.
And
yes.
finances too.
Yeah, and
finances is a big deal.
And here's yeah. the thing y'all need to talk about. What gonna happen? We both have in-laws, right? In-laws of mine. Yeah. What's gonna happen? Who yeah. gonna go live with who? What are your expectations of yeah. me as the wife? Because if you expect me to take care of the older folk, then I can tell you, well, I take care of the women and you take care of the men. Mm-hmm. Right? These are all the things.
Yes.
Almost make me want to try to get married.
Well, we encourage you to get premarital before you get married.
Don't worry. His parents gonna have sense. You can drag him right there.
But as C.A. Nuri said, what do we offer? Relationship counseling. We also offer, like she said, robbery, because that's a big issue with the job. And we go mm-hmm. on site and counsel the staff. And sometimes by going on site, we then ID persons who were traumatized and they come and do one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So we offer all of that. And then career counseling. Some people are struggling. Where do I go from here?
Career counseling.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. they're struggling. They're just from university and they still don't know what they want to do with their life. So we try to give them
all. Well, man, that's awesome. That's awesome because, yeah. hey, I want to go into medicine and research, right? But I'm also a devout Christian and I struggle with the ethics, right, of the mm-hmm. things that I'm going to
yeah.
do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, young people could benefit from that.
Yes.
Let's take a moment and go to the phone line and then I want to ask about grief counseling. Producer, let's prep. I got it. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Erin. Good morning, Mr. Murray.
Good morning.
And good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
I'm very intrigued by your outreach on getting my cousin Frederick Arnett and Ms. Helen on this program today about family matters. You see, I have been trying, and I want my cousin Frederick Arnett to call me because, you know, Erin, I've made the commitment on wanting to donate some dialysis machine to in San Salvador and also to Crooked Island. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I'm Cousin Frederick.
Hello.
This is Dennis Bethel, your cousin Anna Bethel's son.
Okay. Yes, I got you.
All right.
So the family aspect of what you all are discussing, Erin, I just told you last week I would like to take you to San Salvador so you can enjoy Fortunio.
Yes, sir.
One of these days. And this is very good because it will be therapeutic for anybody that's having marital issues and with the youth and youth in school to do who I try to encourage to learn to do family research and everything.
Yes.
So, Mr. Nuri, I commend you this morning for connecting me with my cousin. I wanted to speak with him. Erin, you can give him my number.
I will do.
Give them my number so you can call me after the show.
I will do. Absolutely.
Okay, and as soon as I can get my matter sorted out with these people so I could buy my new plane.
Yes, sir.
I get this money from them.
Good
okay?
stuff.
Very good. Very good.
Thanking you.
Then I won't have to pay to go to San Salvador.
There you go. In fact, Cousin Annette, you coming on this trip with me? How
yes,
I could go
yes,
and you
yes,
ain't
yes.
going place. So the types of counseling you offer, Cousin Dennis Bethel just brought in the San Salvador Family Island aspect, right? For family islanders who have had to resettle or transition to New Providence or Grand Bahama, a bigger island, for the survivors of storms
yes.
who have been displaced and resettled. I imagine that the counseling services are ideal for people still dealing. And I want to say this. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with you. I'm not saying that you're sick. I'm just saying that we all deal with extraordinary amounts of pressure every day, and sometimes it's helpful to have someone to talk it through with.
Yeah.
I want to say good morning to Cousin Dennis again, because sometimes that solitude and quiet, many young people are in need of therapy because of something very simple, complete overstimulation.
Mm-hmm.
The world that they, right from school to after school to the phones, the TVs, the tablets, the radios, the voices in the community. A lot of young kids are unable to find balance because they're simply overstimulated.
Or information overload.
There you go, information overload.
Yeah.
So to grief counseling, grief from losing a job,
yes.
grief from losing a career opportunity,
yes.
grief from not getting into the university or the college that you wanted to get into, grief from losing a boyfriend, or what's even worse than that, people, grief from losing a good friend.
Yes.
Right? Sometimes we don't weigh the value of platonic relationships.
Yes. Yes.
And so grief counseling is needed in a variety of aspects.
Yeah.
For young people, they may lose a competition. They may lose a game.
Yeah.
Or worse yet, young people who lose friends. Mm-hmm. You know, young people that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
These young people, they need grief counseling as well.
Yes.
Of course, we offer that.
Yes.
We also offer services to teens who have attempted suicide or who have suicidal ideation. We try to work with them. We find many times, though, parents are unwilling to let them complete the service, and they often abort before we're done helping the teenager to work through that. But we know that suicide is on the up and up, not just among young people, but others as well. They're becoming disillusioned, depressed, and they see this as a way out.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Christian Counseling Center, we try to offer hope to the hopeless and try to offer comfort and care for them so that they have a renewed reason to live.
So my next question is, how does one get in contact, get connected to, right, to the Christian Counsel Services, right? And what type of people should make effort to say, I need some assistance and I do not know where to go? What type of people should say, I need to make myself available?
Anyone can call us from wherever you are. Call us and we'll book you in, give you an appointment. We welcome walk-in, but preferably by appointment would be better. I really want to zero in, since I have this opportunity, because this is a problem in our society. Persons struggling with depression and grief and loss, and then they have suicidal ideation, and they're thinking about suicide. I think in our community, where they don't commit and it's just power suicide, they're punished. Because in our laws, which is very archaic, you can go to BDOCs for 2 years.
For attempted suicide.
Yeah, yes. Which I think is very punitive. And I wish down the road we could lobby to have that erased from the books.
And it's not a deterrent.
No.
It's not a deterrent because the feeling that prompts somebody to go there, the thought of being locked up is only going to prompt them to do, quote unquote, a better job. It's not an effective tool and it's not a deterrent.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you can also find us on Collins Avenue, 58 on Collins Avenue. And the number is 327-000. That is 327-0000.
Now you say it's on Collins Avenue, 58 Collins. Now you mentioned walk-in, right? Say I'm going through something, but I just happen to remember that the counseling center is on Collins Avenue.
Yeah.
So I could just be driving by and say, let me stop.
Yes.
There's enough counselors there to say, hey, come inside. We can get you sorted right now.
Yes.
What if I just need someone to talk to? I say, hey, I don't think I'm depressed, right? I just think something is wrong and I need to talk this out with somebody. Can I just stop by and say, man, I need someone to talk?
You listen.
And what if I know somebody who's going through some things? And it ain't me.
No.
But I want to help them.
Yeah.
But I might need to stop to talk to someone so I can know how to help them.
Yeah.
Can I stop and do that?
We welcome that. We welcome that. And we would encourage you even to, like, if you feel like you're not strong enough to do the intervention, we'll do the intervention for you. Because we find that underneath some of that is deep depression. Mm-hmm. And persons are thinking either suicidal or homicidal or both. So before they get to that level, we'll see if we could do an intervention.
And amazing, you said, you know, nothing might be wrong with me, but it's amazing how many people come in for a particular problem that they are having, but it's 90 degrees away from what's actually going on. It's not until you begin to talk to them and deal with their issue that they would pick up and say, you know, I must say I wasn't upfront with you. And this is amazing because people don't want to look bad. I mean, normally, we don't want to look bad.
Now,
you know.
Mr. Arnett, Pastor Arnett, I have a text here that says, it's good to hear your voice. You worked back in the day with my father at Batelco, right?
Yes.
So young people in particular are facing new challenges with this technology, right?
Yes.
There's the catfish phenomenon, right? And people get caught up in that sort of catfish phenomenon because they're lonely or depressed. Even in the face of plenty of people, they feel alone, right? And now we have some new tools coming up, like we have an AI, like you could sign and have an AI therapist and talk to you. But did your days at Batelco inspire you on this path, right? That people need, if people just talk to people, right?
I'll take a minute, if I may, just to say something about that. I worked at Batelco for 27 years. For 3 years, the then pastor, Morris Russell, tried to get me to come on as assistant to the pastor at Calvary Bible Church. And every year, I would say to the group that was trying to get me involved, so, you know, I'll pray about it. And I'll, the next couple of days, they say, what's your answer? I say, you know, I prayed about it, but I don't think I'm being called.
Mm-hmm.
But after 3 years, they came to me for three solid years asking me to come on to Calvary Bible Church. And that was when I made up my mind, yes, I'm going to do what the Lord would have me to do.
I find it fascinating because within the Anglican Church, I don't know if it's a tenet or what it is, but the church acknowledges that it must have a listening ear. It must create a space to hear, even if the people are living in sin, to hear their cries, yeah, right, and to provide a space for them. And so many people, they just need a space. They just need to know that a space exists. Like, I love moving through the family islands and this distance between people, right? But y'all have to understand what the Halen culture is like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we live far apart. Mm-hmm. When we see each other, we acknowledge each other.
Yes.
You are there. I see you and I won't forget you, right? And that's such an important part of family island life. And I think the phone, you know, as a tool of communication, yes, it reminds us, we get to talk to each other, say something, acknowledge the person exists.
Yes, and just before a minute, I'd like to make sure that we understand this. We talk about Christian counseling, but we do not just do Christian counseling.
I was going to ask that. Go ahead.
Helen.
No, I think we integrate psychology. We all our studies wasn't just reading the Bible and we're going to weaponize someone with biblical words, because we have people come to us who don't even think about God, they don't care about God, they don't like God, and we still hear them.
Yes.
And acceptance doesn't mean I agree with your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I can still embrace you. You know,
wherever you're safe here.
Yes. I like what you said about a space, but mm-hmm. we provide a safe space and a confidential space,
yes,
which is different.
Yeah. I want to talk about pricing. Is there a price for this? What is this free? I mean, it sounds good. I'm excited about it, but I don't know, how do I connect? Do I come with my wallet? Do I come with my credit card? Is this a ministry? What is it exactly?
Well, with all ministry, there are costs, and so we have to pay the utility bills and whatever else. So it's $75 per session. If it's before hours and after hours, it's $100. If you come and say, no, I don't have it, we still see you, and we'll still give you service.
The same.
Yeah, it won't be because you can't pay. We give you less service.
No.
And let's talk about the counselor itself. Mm-hmm. Are these Christian-based counselors? Are these psychologists? What? Give me a narrative on who the counselors are.
I've been trained in both worldview. I've been trained in psychology and biblical counseling. And I don't push the Bible on anyone. If you don't want to hear about God, I'm not going to get angry with you and say, go away. I'm going to hear your heart, and I can still journey with you, and I listen actively. And I found that over the years, when persons come who don't believe in God, at some time during our journey in the counseling, they say, you know, I came here not thinking about God, but now because of just the care and the safe spot, my thinking is going in a different direction.
Let's talk about teenagers and young adults for a minute, right? Mm-hmm. What if I have a problem teen? I'm a parent. I say, my child kind of peculiar. Mm-hmm. I could need help with this one, mm-hmm. right? I am a teenager going to UB, mm-hmm. and I said, I need some help just going through this college atmosphere. Do you make space for young adults, teenagers, 13, 14, 15, that age bracket
we do.
To come.
We do, but we want to see the parents first because they're minors.
Yes.
And I find that many times when parents present their son or their daughter, the child isn't really the problem, it's the parent. Mm-hmm. So we see the parent and we see the child, and then if we have to have family intervention, if there's a father or a sister or whoever, we have then have family sessions, and then we'll still see this childhood, they try to ideate the problem as an individual, because sometimes they are kind of projecting all of this on that child. But when you check in, the parents are the real big issue and the big problem.
Mm-hmm. One of the services we offer is also life coaching. Mm-hmm. So if people are going through a particularly stressful time in life, they can come in and know that they are in a safe space, and we can provide tips to help them to cope with life and also to base their life around certain ideologies. Mm-hmm. So that's something we also
offer. So my sister had a problem. She had spent some time in jail, but all of a sudden I have these three kids now that I'm taking care of. And listen, and I can't let them see me sweat. Mm-hmm. I'm the captain now. Mm-hmm. I could come in and say, listen, I new situation. Mm-hmm. I want to get my feet grounded because these little children, I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Mm-hmm. Come in for that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me an orientation on what happens. I step in, right? I make an appointment. I call before I come. I said, I am coming in because I want to have a conversation, or I have an issue I want to discuss. I'm depressed or whatever it is. And I made the appointment. Give me an orientation on what happens when I step through the door.
Well, we meet you, we greet you, and we welcome you into one of our offices. And then we say, Mr. Nuri, you are here. You want to talk? And then we follow. We'll get some basic information from you on our preliminary Nary intake, and then we ask you a few questions, and we go along, and then I also watch Mr. Nuri's body language, because the body language is the true message, because Mr. Nuri may be saying, oh, I'm fine, but then when I look at him trying to have a fist and probably pull back, then I know maybe there's some underlying anger, anxiety, and then after a while, I might speak to that. Or I can have a lady there saying everything is beautiful and she's talking about abuse, but she's all little. I say, how can you talk about all that loss, that pain? And then they finally say, you know, I finally wish I can cry. And I say, you're welcome to cry here. Mm-hmm. In my journey, I've seen men cry. I've seen men pound up on the table. Mm-hmm. And I welcome it, because I hate to know a man walk away and he probably kill someone or he dropped dead when he could open
just
up
holding
to me.
All that grief and frustration and anger, anxiety is not worth it to your body.
It's toxic. It's really toxic.
That's another thing I think important for people to understand the value of therapy. Yes. You're not ill. You're not sick. You're not crazy.
It's not the crazy hill mentality. Right, no, it's maturity that I can walk in and talk to Aaron Green.
Right. And I can I can turn that valve and release some of this pressure, because the pressure is tall. And for men in particular, I want to say to men, we know the pressure tall, you know.
Yeah.
We know that there are unspoken expectations, and we know that this society can be cruel to you. Yes. You must provide in every single moment. And if you don't, you're lazy, or you're homosexual, right? Or you're no good, just like your pa. Yeah. And these things pressure men from boys straight up to maturity. Mm-hmm. You all take advantage of these things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about men. I'm a man. Thank you very much, Reverend, for being here also. Again, regarding the counselors, I'm coming there. I'm a male.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel uneasy with talking to a female about my male business. I want to know about the makeup of your counselors there. Are there men for me to talk about man things?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Number one, Sister Denise's husband is involved as well. He just couldn't be here this morning, but he is a very good counselor, and I am available. I have retired after so many years, but seriously, I realized that I can't just give up. So at 84, I'm still counseling.
Mm-hmm. And the difference between counseling therapy, and then there's mental health and what there is. And I know Aaron's indicating that there shouldn't be any shame when you're asking for help. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, Ms. Arna mentioned safe space.
Yes.
There's definitely safe space there.
Yes.
But what if I'm suffering from anxiety? Is that mental health? How can you talk me through that or acknowledge that, yes, you need some kind of counseling or something like that?
I don't think you just push people. Sometimes when you give them the quiet space and the active listening air, then they sit in that quiet space. Because I remember once he had a man who was on the run, and he was being monitored and everything. And my basic question when he presented himself, I said, are you in the right area? Because I didn't want him there. And his
reached in terms of
I'm not going to jeopardize us, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I found out he was, okay? And he saw him, and then he slept. And I said, that's beautiful. This man found a safe place. He held the bucket. He could talk.
He finally slept.
Yeah. He slept. And I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. And so many, listen, so many young people right now have that type of anxiety where they can't sleep. Imagine the last time you went to sleep, when you woke up in a totally different environment. Yeah. You no longer had a house, right? Then, and these things stick with little children. Yeah. They're imprinted on them. But I also wanted to say, Pastor Arnett, please don't discount your value in this service, because I imagine that older men would also appreciate talking to older men.
Yes.
They may see the value of interacting in group sessions with younger men as well, right? But in the same vein as Mr. Newry,
yes,
older women will want to talk about some things with older women.
Yes. Well, I tell you the truth. I know I've had several men and women came to me, and I said, you know, okay, what's happening in your life? Mm-hmm. And they begin to talk. And before you know it, an hour is gone. And I said, well, our time is gone. He said, thank you so much for helping me. I might have said 3 or 4 words. I didn't say, I just gave them a space to release what was on their mind.
And that's why some of us make fun, but some of us understand the value. When you see people talking to themselves, you say, let them be. Because they need to say these things out loud, you know, and they need to hear them.
Yeah.
And it's so important to be willing to hold space for people and be a listening post. I found myself in the food store standing next to an older woman, typical assertive, boisterous, Bahamian older woman. And she started talking to me about how these Haitians and sissies get just out of control. And the people in the line looking at me wondering what I can say to her. And I realized, I just need to listen.
Yes.
It's not about me.
No,
that's it.
No.
That's it.
She really just needs,
she feels safe.
She feels invisible in society.
Yeah.
And that people not just ignore, but mash her down and tell her to shut up.
Uh-huh.
And even though it may be crazy, and she know it was a little outrageous what she was saying, she needed to say, I just give her space.
Yeah. Yes, good.
Yeah. And then I look at the people and I smile and I turn back and I serious up my face again, right?
Uh-huh.
To let her know.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
How long is a session? And you said, mentioned $75 for the starting price? One hour.
Hour.
Each session is 1 hour and $75 there. Now, let's talk about group session.
Mm-hmm.
Me, my wife, my 2 children, one come and have some counseling. How does that go about it? And talk about pricing. How is the booking done for that?
Well, if you are the contact person, then we would kind of probably look at your finances. And if we think you can go to $100, then we charge that group $100. If not, we stay at
$75.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We look at your finances, what your struggles are. Because we don't want you to come as a family, and maybe finances is a big issue with you.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, I can't come, and I'll stay away. And then we try to see you as the dad on a one-to-one to find out what your worldview is about, what's going on in my family, then maybe the mother and maybe each child, and then bring it together.
See, because if I was a children and I won the lottery or I got a big inheritance, I take in my whole family to counseling. I said, okay, let's go. Our lives can change, and mommy and daddy, we need to sit down and talk about, right? Let's talk about it. Something big happens, let's go talk about it as a group. When we get back from the break, we've got texts and more questions. And it's just a pleasure having this conversation today. You guys are tuned in to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room.
you won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green is joining me as we have a conversation with Christian Counseling Center, which is located on 58 Collins Avenue. Their phone number is 323-7000, right? We have in studio, we have Miss Helen Arnett, who's the Executive Director at the Christian Counseling Center. We have Pastor Frederick Arnett, who's the founder, giving some insight on why it was started and how they're concentrating on families and making sure that they have counseling for Bahamians straight across the board. And of course, we have one of the counselors here, Miss Denise Worrell, who's a counselor there. And she's given us the background and the thesis of what all the counseling center offers. And before the break, we were talking about the various groupings that can come and guest sessions. We talk about people who have social stress, who are dealing with HIV, and who's dealing with premarital counseling, and there's a whole gamut of things. And I'm gonna let them reiterate that point again, all the services, so the listening audience could take advantage of knowing that information on where you can go and get counseling for. They mentioned that they do provide walk-in, so you could just walk in and get that information. And of course, you can also call most appropriate and make an appointment. Yeah. But I want to go and give us a detailed reference on what all services you offer. So those who are listening who said, okay, that's me there. I can go and find information about that.
So like if I have I have a small company. I have raccoons, cats, and birds waking for me. And right now, they ain't waking together. But if I have an issue in the office amongst staff, can I bring the staff, or can I invite you to the office and say, listen, we're creating a protocol. We're making it independent. We're bringing in professional counselors to try and work this out so that we can maintain a healthy work environment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've had that request in the past, and we have responded to it. It's very important for the work environment not to be a toxic one, mm-hmm. because it will affect the bottom line eventually. So it's important for business owners to watch out for this happening on the job and to provide a safe environment, and we can do our part to help to bring that about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And
detail of what all services, sorry.
And other services that we offer include what I call PTSD, and anything traumatic that happens, such as Dorian,
theft.
COVID.
We have been dealing with persons, mm-hmm. even now, mm-hmm. We have victims of Dorian who, when the sky darkens and it starts to thunder, you know, mm-hmm. they have a reaction. So we have to be aware of this still happening in our society and deal with it. You have a question?
Police officers, immigration officers, mm-hmm. defense force officers, first responders, mm-hmm. firemen, EMT, we encouraging them to use the services?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
Because they are seen as these big heroes in our society. But everybody needs help at some time. And things can get overwhelming, especially if they're coming back to back. So in situations like that, yes, we encourage them to come in and mm-hmm. have a conversation so that we can deal with that. Also, teenagers, parents who are having difficulty parenting, families that are not the normal, quote-unquote, two-parent families, but you have blended families and mm-hmm. parents who have different families that come together. You have divorced families. So all of that we deal with.
I'm thinking from my perspective, you got a teenager who has two moms,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. They love their moms, mm-hmm. but they know that society doesn't accept it. They're dealing with some pressure in school. Exactly. They can come in and say, listen, I want some tips to help me transition both worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, I love my parents. I understand what people are feeling.
Yes.
You know, how do I navigate this?
Mm-hmm. All right. Very important. And we've had teens come in and get help from that, and they leave and thrive, which mm-hmm. is so encouraging to see. Yes. But definitely that is something that needs to be addressed, and teens need to know that there's a safe place for yes. them to come in and have their problems discussed and leave feeling a whole lot better than they came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also when they come, you're not adjudicating them. You're basically trying to really be there and not be judge and jury, mm-hmm. but be somebody who wants to hear in an mm-hmm. active way.
Yeah, yeah. Because of the parental dynamic, yeah. yes. sometimes the parent is just not going to be the person mm-hmm. that you want to hear you in this moment. But if you can get through this space healthily. In 20 years, you and your mom and you and your dad, you're going to have the best relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. And during COVID, when we had lockdowns, there was a lot of abuse that went on, mm-hmm. and people are still dealing with that abuse.
Yeah.
And it's something that they need to know they don't have to bear that alone. They can come in and get help.
Yeah.
So that's important as well. Family Islanders, we have a plan for you. You can call in, or you can email, contact us from the website so that you can get help that you need. You can get assigned to someone. We do counseling by telephone, by Zoom, in person, and any way that is necessary to get you to a healthier place, we are willing to work with you on.
You mentioned a website?
Yes.
I need to know the website. Go ahead. What is the website? Any social media page? Somehow I can, whatever way I can get in contact with you to say, give it, start off with the phone number again, and then if there's a social media page, tell me the social media page, mm-hmm. and you can always text me back and say, Mary, see the website here, and I'll call that website mm-hmm. on the air at a later time.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also a Facebook page, and
yeah,
then there's,
mm-hmm.
and then there is Calvary Bible Church website is connected to the Christian Counseling Center.
I understand.
Right, and then we also have a Christian Counseling Center website. I think it's
www.cccbahamas.org.
Right, .org.
Okay. We have a caller too. Go ahead. You found it?
Yes.
Yeah. Say it again, Erin.
So it's Christian Counseling Center on Facebook. So just search Christian Counseling Center. Yeah. The logo is blue and white.
That's correct.
Yes, it's blue and white logo, and then the cover picture, it says Christian Counseling Center.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to this caller there. Kermit, connect that caller for me so everyone can hear it into the studio. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, Erin. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Fred Arnett and his wife Helen Arnett and to their guests. And I want to commend them for wonderful service that they're giving at the counseling center. By the way, this is Alec Tanana.
Yes, I recognize your voice. Thank you.
Anytime we hear a hand on him, we get excited.
I mean, from my ear, the first name, I'm going to, so you ain't a hairless cousin? But things like, especially with HHT, right? Finding family, the sense of belonging. These are all things that young people and older people are navigating and struggling with, right? Is my daddy really my daddy? Who is my people? And it's about a sense of identity. And for young people, a lot of this talking is about helping them establish a sense of identity. How do I establish a sense of myself and still be connected to a family? I can't reject them because I need them. And for older people as well, navigating a new experience in the world, right? And reconciling with what life is now. Do you have group sessions with elder members of society? I don't want y'all being in your session talking about that Erin Green who call us old all the time.
I don't think we have one running currently, but we have had it in the past. And if there's a need, we certainly can do that.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I want to say this, right? Because I see some elder people on the road navigating with a quickened pace of life, right? Reconciling with, am I the problem, right? Am I the drama? And sometimes it is that it's not that the world is moving too fast. It's that, you're right, the world is not accommodating your new pace of life. And how do you reconcile with that?
Yes. Even something as simple as a change of route. I remember my horror when I saw an elderly person turn left off Wolf Road onto Blue Hill Road.
Oh.
And couldn't figure out why. So many cars were coming in her lane, know. Yeah. So these are realities that people face, the changes, and they need help navigating some of these.
Yeah. And they deserve it, right?
Yes, yes.
It's our job to carve that space out, but it's also our job to say, hey, you know what, I need it, and I'm ready.
Yes.
Before we go, I want to do some commentary about senior parents. Like, I have now older parents, and trying to make space for them in terms of how do I lovingly deal with a older parent who is still my daddy or who is still my mommy, right? I have to show them the respect, and I got to take care of them also. When you do counseling, do you acknowledge that, or have you seen that too?
When I do with that case, I also tell the primary caregiver, like, if you're looking after your dad, especially if he's struggling with dementia or whatever, I tell you, try take care of yourself too, because I find caregivers don't do a good job on taking care of themselves. They get lost in all of that drama with the older person, and they have to realize, we have to start reparenting my parents. Mm-hmm. I have to then be a parent, like, but with respect and honor, because remember, whether you're a biblical student or not, God says honor your parents. And it doesn't mean their activities, but that station in life where God placed them, that's still your dad, that's still your mom. You might not like their activities, but you honor that, and you journey with them with respect.
I know we're getting ready to go. What about when you have children who'd struggle? You say, man, I spent all my money on you, and this is what you come out to be.
Yeah.
How do you have counseling for that?
Yeah, and because I find that a lot of parents, they vicariously living their life through their children. They don't want that child to. That child, you might want the doctor, but the child wants to be the farmer. You know, so you embrace that farmer.
Yes.
You love that farmer.
It's like the parent that wants to beat their mid-aged child for not eating vegetables. He said, you didn't feed them vegetables when you had control. None of that. Now you want to take it out on the child. Now, please, reintroduce yourself to the audience and tell the people where they can find you as we close out the show.
Okay, I'm Helen Arnett, and you can find me at number 58 Collins Avenue. You can give me a call, 3237000, and I'll be willing to have a talk with you and book you in. And if I can't help you, I'll refer you to somebody who can.
My name is Pastor Frederick Arnett, and you can find me at 3237000. I am there. Matter of fact, if you need me and I am not there, my wife will give you, by the way, this is my wife, Ellen. she will give you a message or give me a message, and I'll make a point to get in as soon as I can.
And I'm Denise Worrell. You can find me at email wordy1@hotmail.com, wordy1@hotmail.com. You can book your Zoom appointments or your in-person appointments there.
Yes, and CCC Bahamas is cccbahamas@gmail.com.
I enjoy this show, Aaron. I mean, you know when there's hope? Like, I didn't know they exist. I mean, I now see there's options for me to access.
Yeah, and particularly for people, listen, sometimes just bystanding, observing violence impacts you and affects you. Take these opportunities seriously and tell your friends about them. You never know when somebody needs a helping hand.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Bahamas, have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.